These are all of our stories. These are who we are as Americans.
Freedom leads to prosperity. Freedom is the victor.
This is the podcast of Grassroots Radio Colorado with your host, Chris Cook.
And welcome. This is the podcast for Grassroots Radio Colorado. I am your host, Chris Cook, just like the guy said. I always repeat that, don't I? It just kind of sounds ridiculous at the beginning. I am absolutely loving doing these podcasts. I am absolutely loving this. This is so cool. Here I sit in my dining room of all places, so you could imagine that. I have my cat running around praying that she doesn't like get hungry in the middle of me recording so that you hear meows in the background, although that might add some texture, I suppose. I get to sit here with a glass of wine, which I never got to do when I was in studio, and it's really a kind of a cool process. At first it felt weird, because I felt like I was just sitting here talking to myself, but you guys really have been so great about reaching back out to me and giving me feedback and giving me, you know, constructive criticism. And I love that. I absolutely love that. I love having you be part of this because this is a joint effort. What we are doing here, what we're building here, this narrative that we're building to re-energize the potential that our founding fathers saw in our country, the narrative that we're building, the one that you guys are the heroes of, that it requires your participation. So thank you so much for reaching out to me. If you're trying to find me, I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/grassrootsradiocolorado. You can email me at Chris, K-R-I-S, at grassrootsradiocolorado.com. And I so appreciate the emails and the messages and the comment threads that have happened on some of these podcasts and how folks have really embraced this. And I love that. I love seeing that happen. It's really neat to have a new touchstone, one that is free of censorship, one that is freer than where we were on the radio. It wasn't dependent on revenues and making sure that we had a sellable product and that, you know, all that kind of stuff, all those conversations that go on behind the scenes that you never hear about. I don't have to worry about any of that. I'm just doing this, and it's a completely jerry-rigged setup. I've got my laptop and a piece of equipment that I used to use when I was singing and one of the microphones I used to use. And I mean, that is literally the entire setup. I'm not sophisticated here, but it's really cool to have this be part of it and to have you guys be part of it. So thank you. Thank you for being part of this. I love doing these because I love how my brain works sometimes, and I like to share that. And I you're listening, so I guess you like how my brain works too sometimes. I love serendipity and how things come together. Couple different events going on right now. I'm working on a big case that landed on my desk yesterday, and it's a case that is... It's a high profile case, but it's dealing with some really interesting issues. One of those issues is antitrust, that there was collusion within the marketplace to decrease competition in this particular case. And it's part of the allegations against the defendant, and I'm on the plaintiff's side. So it's a really interesting, antitrust to me is a really interesting area of the law, because it is against the free market. It's an affront to the free market when big players collude in the market to take down competition, to set the prices at an artificial level so that they make more money. That's an affront to us as consumers, and that's a problem. That's a huge problem. And so I like to fight against that stuff, and I like to uncover it, and I like to see it go down. I like to see the bad guys punished, you know, and it's part of the reason why I absolutely love my job. The other piece of serendipity that I got today was a comment from a friend. And I thought this was a really interesting comment. We were discussing grassroots advocacy and how to build a grassroots organization and that kind of thing. And his comment was, the best elected official is a true representative of the constituency. And I don't think I'd ever heard it phrased quite like that. And so I got to thinking about that comment and realized that I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it at all. There's a couple problems. And so that's kind of the starting point for tonight's podcast. There's a couple problems with that. The best elected official is the one who represents the constituency. It's how do you represent a diverse constituency is my very first thought on that. How do you represent a constituency where of 10 hot button issues, 10% of the population has that as their hot button? You know, I mean, whether that's economics or pro-life or gay marriage or foreign policy or whatever their hot button issue is, if each, you know, section of the population has a different issue that they are passionate about, willing to draw a line in the sand for, how do you represent all 10 of those groups? You're not gonna. It just doesn't happen. That's why we do elections by majority, is because you're not going to get everybody on the same page. And so I started thinking about how do you solve that problem. And I going back to the last night's podcast about mission and strategy and tactics, and keep going back to that idea of mission. It's such an important concept in my life, and it guides so much. I actually have a mission statement for this show. I actually have a mission statement that I have been back and forth and refining over the past few months so that I have a mission for this show. I mean, our mission is to restore the republic. My way of doing that is to tell the stories that make the principles come alive, that pull everything together. I don't know how successful I am at that on a daily basis, but it's at least a mission. It's a goal to strive for. And I keep going back to mission when I think about our elected officials and how they need to have a mission as well. And what is their mission? I mean, everybody really has one. Everybody's going to have that goal. What I think sets apart an elected official from a leader, and I think that's what we really are needing, is a leader has that mission. And a leader pulls the rest of us, he pulls the constituency into that vision, into the realization of that mission. So when I am trying to choose, and we've talked a lot about this over the past couple months, when I'm trying to choose which candidate I am going to support, I'm looking for the candidate who shares my mission. The one who shares my mission. And we talked about last night, mission is rooted in principles, or at least it should be. A mission is rooted in principles. So I want the candidate who wants to restore the republic, who wants to restore the founder's vision. That is the candidate I'm looking for. And I finally figured out today that that's exactly why I am so on board with Ted Cruz, because I believe he shares that mission. I really, really believe that. He is willing to sacrifice political capital in order to achieve that. He's willing to pull the rest of us into that vision that he's got. And that's what we're looking for in an elected official. That is what we're looking for. I don't want somebody who reflects, who is a mirror of the constituency around me. Look around you for a second. Look at the state of America at this point in time, and how little people understand about America, how little people understand about this idea, how little people are dedicated to anything beyond making sure that they get home to watch Duck Dynasty or whatever. And apologies to all the Duck Dynasty fans out there. I understand there was a big wedding tonight. I have no idea. I've never watched the show. But you know, I mean, that's we've got to have a higher goal than that. We've got to have a bigger thing that we're going for. I don't want an elected official who reflects what I see around me, because what I see around me right now, the median on all that, the average is not a very high bar, and it's not going to get us to where we need to be. I want a leader, somebody who is willing to pull us into that vision, somebody who is willing to express his principles or her principles and take the proper strategic and tactical steps in order to achieve the realization of those principles here in this country. That's what I'm looking for. That's what Reagan was. He had a vision for America. You know, the shining city on the hill and all that kind of stuff. And I always go back to that quote. I mean, just that is so iconic, so iconically Reagan. But that was a leader. That wasn't just an elected official. That was a leader. And he was in no way representative of the constituency. He led us into being a better country. That's what he did. That's what I want from my elected officials. And I understand that my friend's comment wasn't really in the context of all this, but in a way it is. In a way it is, because we were talking about, you know, how do you build the grassroots organization? How do you build the infrastructure to take us into, you know, past the next election? And that infrastructure needs to have within it the means for messaging and for sharing this vision. We need to have people within that infrastructure, within the grassroots organizations, that get this, that understand this, that understand the mission itself. And it's not just to get Republicans elected. And it's certainly not just to get the mirror of the electorate put into office. If we were going to do that, we would have a much easier time of it if we just picked names out of the phone book or had a lottery. I mean, that would give us the reflection of the constituency that my friend that is being sought in my comment and in the comment from my friend. So I hope he actually listens to this, because I told him that he inspired this podcast and he said, don't give me credit. I really don't want it. But, you know, that is what it's about. We need a leader. We don't need someone who just reflects who we are. As a nation, I mean, as a society, because I think where we are as a society right now is not a desirable way to lead us out of the problems that we have. And we do have a lot of problems. We have a lot of things that need to be fixed in this country. Doesn't mean I'm down on America. Just means I'm down on where we are at and how far we have strayed from those principles, from those things that I love about America, which are all in the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, that kind of stuff. If we can get back to that, then we're fulfilling something. Then we're fixing something. But just electing the average, the mirror of our electorate, that's not going to get us there. That's not going to get us there. And part of the problem is the thing I started to talk about at the top, this antitrust deal. How do you achieve electing that leader if you've got two parties who are colluding with each other to disintegrate the competition? And that's what I want to get into next, because I think it's another way to look at the political class, and I think this is a very useful way to look at it. So I hope you'll stick with me. I'll be right back. That's a group called Jazzar, and the name of the track is Gonzo. You can find that at freemusicarchive.org. If you are wondering why I always tell you that, part of the deal with a Creative Commons license, which is where all this music comes from, it's all licensed under a Creative Commons license, all the tracks that I've been pulling out, you have to give attribution. So that's part of the reason why you always find out what that song is. And also why I put the beginning and ending songs from The Willing and from The Bristles into the podcast verbiage. So it's all attributed. All my bases are covered. I'm doing my best here with intellectual property. It's not my strongest suit. So we're talking about antitrust and the two-party system. And the biggest problem I see, obviously, and it's something that I talk about frequently, is how the parties are pretty much alike. And that is the deal that just drives me insane. I don't know about you, but I want a clear choice. And that's the thing that the Republican Party does not seem to recognize. Or if they do recognize, they have a much more nefarious mission than restoring the republic. I mean, that is not their goal. Their goal is something completely different. But I mean, the two parties, Democrats and Republicans alike, the main establishment portions of those parties, which is unfortunately, I think, a majority. Actually, I take that back. I don't think it is a majority of both the Democrat and the Republican parties to support the establishment, but they don't think they have a choice. And part of the reason why they think that is because the parties have colluded to kick out the competition. Look at what's happening with Donald Trump, okay? Obviously. Rick Wilson is just going ballistic. He is a Republican, a GOP consultant, and he has not a clue how to win an election. It's so hilarious to me that this is his strategy. People hire this guy to run their campaigns, okay? GOP candidates hire this guy to run their campaigns. Here is what he said, and you tell me the political wisdom in this, okay? Here's what he said. He said, "You do not benefit by trying to draft behind Donald Trump and hope that he collapses and his low information supporters run into your arms. This is a guy who is increasingly leading a fraction of the conservative base into a very dangerous cul-de-sac. He is promising things that he can never deliver, and it is time for Jeb Bush and other folks to start posting up and really comparing and contrasting Donald Trump's rhetoric with the reality." That's the quote. He was on CNN. He's often on CNN. That ought to tell you a whole bunch just in that fact. But that quote blows my mind. Donald Trump is leading the polls. And after the debate, he's done nothing but go up, okay? And so all of these other candidates, with the exception of one, Ted Cruz, all of these other candidates are trying to do like damage control around Donald, okay? Why? He's saying something that actually makes sense, and people are responding to that because it is so very different from what we hear from the political class. So that makes me step back for a second and think, well, why are they attacking Donald Trump? Why wouldn't you want to draft behind him? And when he implodes, which I think he will, I still believe that he will, but when he implodes, then you want to be the next choice. You want to be the next choice. You want to show yourself to be that clear choice from the Democrats. You want to show yourself to be that real, authentic candidate. Now, Ted Cruz has not attacked Donald Trump very wisely. And he, in fact, in an interview with, I think it was with Fox News, said that it's foolish to go out and smack Donald Trump the way that they have. It's foolish. First of all, and he's absolutely right, and the reason is, first of all, you are insulting the people who are supporting him. That's like, you know, what, 30-some-odd% of the base right now. You're insulting the people who support him. And the second thing is, when he does implode, then we've got those folks. Because you didn't attack him. They supported him, he's gone, and you don't have to deal now with the bad feelings of, well, but you attacked my guy and you said that he was, his followers were crazy and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So when I applaud Ted Cruz for taking that stance. First of all, I think it shows an immense amount of emotional intelligence, an immense understanding of the voters, and a really, really good grasp of politics. And then, so that's, you know, first of all, I want to get that out of the way. I just think that that is the most brilliant stance, absolutely. Given the circumstances, that's where we are. You have to be able to be in a position that should the landscape change, and it likely will, it's a long time between now and November 2016, should the landscape change, you want to be their guy. You want to be their guy. But the other piece of this is all of these candidates who are criticizing him, and Rick Wilson and Karl Rove and all these folks who are trying to decimate conservatives, who are trying to eliminate conservatives from the political landscape. And that is a very bothersome concept when you step back and think about it from the 35,000 foot view. What are they trying to do? They're trying to make everything vanilla. They're trying to make it so you don't really have a choice. They want to make us Democrat light by eliminating anybody who's actually standing on principle, anybody who is a constitutional conservative, anybody who gets all of this, because they've labeled all of us as far right, ultra conservative, far right. And that's just wrong. You don't want to do that. Why would we want to have two parties who perform exactly the same actions, only with different jerseys on? You don't. And so I'm going back to my friend's original comment that the best elected official is the one who reflects the constituency. When you are constricted in your choices because of collusion amongst the political class in which candidates you get to choose from, then you're not ever remotely going to see what the constituency really consists of and how they feel they are best, quote unquote, reflected. You're never going to see that until you allow the process to work the way that it should. And this I lay very much at the feet of the Republicans, very much so. Democrats have their own process, and they do their own thing, and I'm sure it's reflective of our process. It's pretty much the same. I know they have caucuses and all that kind of crap, but I'm a Republican. I have been a registered Republican since I was 18 years old. I am a Republican. I want the Republican Party to stay out of my choices and let us choose. That means we have a caucus. That means that we have people who are involved at the grassroots who are committed enough to the future of the country to actually show up on caucus night and make choices. That's what that means. We preserve the caucus at all costs here in the state of Colorado. And shame on the rest of the country, the 41 states or so who have gotten rid of the caucus system. This is the way to choose good candidates. It removes a lot of money from the process. It removes a lot of the polling from the process. It removes a lot of the low information stuff from the process, which is exactly what you're injecting into the process when you go to a primary and you abandon the caucus. We have to preserve the caucus system because this is how you choose a leader. This is how you choose someone who actually has those principles and those missions and who has done a good job of persuading the electorate, the involved electorate, the activists like you and me, the grassroots, the base, the people who actually get off their asses and try to do something. Those are the folks who are going to choose a much better leader because they're actually paying attention. They're not just voting for the guy whose name they know. They're actually paying attention. And that's why we need to preserve the caucus. That's why we need to fight as hard as we can against the primary. Because we are not just looking for somebody who is reflective of the electorate. We are not. We are looking for a leader. We are looking for a leader. We're looking for multiple leaders on multiple levels. I mean, I'm talking mostly about the presidential race tonight, because obviously that's the most visible one. We've got, 17 candidates in this thing, and it is the Republican clown car. So we have a lot of diversion, a lot of diversity to take a look at. But we have an opportunity here in the state of Colorado, and we are a swing state. We have 9 electoral votes here, and a good ground game means we could sway the entire country. That is really what that means. But it has to be a smart ground game. It has to be a very smart ground game, one that takes into the strategy, all sorts of different ideas and fresh ways to look at things, because the way we've been doing it under the consultants like Rick Wilson is not working. It's not working. 5 out of the last 6 presidential elections, the Republicans have failed to win a majority of the popular vote. 5 out of the last 6. The one that we did win was George W. Bush's re-election in a war when he was an incumbent. That's the only one that we've gotten a majority of the popular vote. It's not since Reagan have we been able to do this and been able to put this together. And it's because of this vanillaization. Yes, I just made up a word. Vanillaization. I'll have to come up with a better word. That one's hard to say. But just making everything the same. They're blanding the political landscape. I don't want that. I want a clear choice. That's one of the reasons why I'm actually sort of excited that Bernie Sanders is really picking up steam. Bernie Sanders versus Ted Cruz. I think it's a no-brainer who's going to win that, first of all. And it's a clear choice. A socialist versus a constitutional conservative. Would that not be the most amazing ballot ever in November of 2016? I think that would be really cool. Hillary Clinton versus Jeb Bush. Who freaking cares? They're the same candidate. I think they even wear the same pantsuits. You know, they're the same candidate. Hillary versus Jeb, that's not a race. That's a you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. That's the collusion happening right in front of your eyes on your ballot. But Bernie Sanders versus Ted Cruz, that would be a very, very different ballot. That would be one that exemplifies exactly what America is supposed to be. A clear choice. A choice about which direction you want to take your country. Instead of having the political class collude behind closed doors, it's a smoky back rooms thing. I mean, that's really what it is. And that's true whether you're talking antitrust in business, you're talking antitrust here in a political sense. It's the smoky back rooms where they make all the deals, they decide how our lives are going to look, and we don't get a say. We don't get a say. We need to stop that. We have to stop that. Part of that here in the state of Colorado is we preserve the caucus. Part of that is that you get involved as a grassroots activist and go out there and make sure that you have some persuasive pull with your neighbors, with folks who maybe aren't political, who really aren't sure how to think about this stuff, and that you have an opportunity to help educate them. We've got 15 months now before the election. We have a chance to help educate people to think about these principles, to think about the strategies, to think about the issues, to think about what it's going to take to get from A to B, and how you start with the thing that you really start with is the principles themselves, and how those principles, and the principles I'm talking about, of course, are individual rights, equal application of the law, you know, protection of life, freedom of conscience, those things, and having those things applies to their lives and makes their lives better and helping spread that word. That's what all of this is about. So I hope you'll think about that. Antitrust in politics. I thought it was a really interesting concept when I came up with it. Thank you so much for listening to me tonight. I really appreciate it. Again, find me on Facebook, facebook.com/grassrootsradiocolorado. Or you can email me if you want to reach out, Chris, K-R-I-S, at grassrootsradiocolorado.com. Share the podcast with your friends. Please share the podcast with your friends, people that you think need to hear this stuff. I would love to start expanding the listenership on this. It's really taking off. I'd love to see more folks listening and getting into these ideas and engaging in this conversation, because I think it can only get better from here. Thank you so much for listening to Grassroots Radio Colorado. And remember, America is great because Americans are great. So go out there and be exceptional.